This is Joe Francica. The following interview was recorded January 22, 2007 at the Map World Forum Conference in Hyderabad, India. I spoke with Mr. Kipil Sibal. He's the Honorable Minister for Science and Technology and Earth Sciences in the Government of India. His position would be equivalent to a Cabinet Secretary in the U.S. Government Administration, and he's responsible for driving GIS technology development in India. He gave the inaugural address of the conference. I found his remarks quite interesting, and if there is one thing you could tell, is that this man is driving the vision of GIS adoption throughout the company, throughout the country. He certainly has that authority, and he speaks quite eloquently about some of the challenges that the country faces, not the least of which is the availability of trained GIS professionals. I also asked him about some controversial issues about democratization of geospatial data. And if you remember, about a year ago, the government of India had a bit of a situation with the availability of some remotely sensed data delivered through Google Earth. I asked him about that, and his remarks were quite candid. I think you'll find the following interview, which only lasts about 9 minutes, quite interesting. Please let us know if you enjoy it. Thanks very much.
I was particularly interested in your comments this morning about the capacity problem and whether you think that the schools are capable of training the necessary GIS professionals to put forth the vision that you have for...
I can only say this to you, if the schools are capable of training IITs, which ultimately then become leaders in the Silicon Valley, why not this?
Yeah.
But what we need to do is to expand the school system, expand opportunities, and get people involved in GIS technologies so that the spread is large. And that's the way to go.
Is it more of a problem that their expertise is not in any particular discipline, environmental or geology, or is it that
problem is of opportunity?
Mm-hmm.
Really, the problem is not of disciplines at all. If you give our young kids, the other day, for example, Bentley Systems, Future Cities, had a project called Future Cities, in which the schools participated. Now, they had no background in Future Cities, right? And these young kids produced futuristic cities and mapped them, digitized them. And the professionals in Bentley said that some of their products were better than professional products.
Mm-hmm.
And that one team, of course, who's got the first prize is going to the U.S. Mm-hmm. to participate in the World Future Cities competition. And they said that we would be happy to hire them straight from school into the system.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think the issue is of discipline. The issue is of opportunity.
Mm-hmm. So, and you also mentioned that sort of the problem that you have is of exporting the expertise, and that you think that the domestic capacity in the next few years will
much greater.
Keep
them. There is no comparison.
Yeah.
It's not a question of keeping them here. I think that we don't mind people being exported, because I think that itself are opportunities that we can't provide to people here. That's why they go out, which is fine. And for those who we can provide opportunities to, will stay back. And part of the reason why people go out is because they don't find opportunities here. Now, for example, you look in the pharma sector. The opportunities are created in India, and everybody has come back.
Mm-hmm.
In the IT sector, the opportunities were created, and 25,000 people from Silicon Valley came back. So it's all a matter of opportunities.
Mm-hmm. So what has to happen next?
To happen is that industry has then to create those products. Industry has to be supplied, disseminated information. GIS should be, a technology should be available to state actors, non-state actors, NGOs, everybody across the line, big companies, SMEs, small and medium-sized companies, so that the product development process takes, expands quickly. And with that will come opportunities. And if we are able to then integrate this into the school system and build capacities, so I think that the demand and supply curve will be balanced and not skewed in the manner it is today.
Yeah, yeah. You made a very, I thought, controversial statement in saying about the data and how it should be more free. Can you explain what, you know, what
the policy... No, I'm not going to make any controversial statement at all. If you ask Mr. Bill Gates and ask Microsoft, they say ultimately in the future, this data has to be open source. Mm-hmm. Because that's the way industry is going to grow. Mm-hmm. Right? For example, in many sites look at the information technology sector. On many sites, for example, people don't earn money mm-hmm. when you access the site. So a lot of information is already free for you. Mm-hmm. That's nothing to do with me. That's the way information is going to go. Right? For those who create products and create intellectual property and put value to those products are entitled to a remunerative return.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
But slowly, most of those products will go open source too. Mm-hmm. Right? And so the challenge there is innovation. What new products you can create. Right? You can gain from the system and how the public can gain from you. So it should be a win-win for both. There's no controversy in this.
But you also mentioned about how data should be more widely available. That's something I have not heard. I know that some countries are very closed about how much data is disseminated.
No, I think data should be widely available as long as your security concerns are met.
Okay.
And I think other than that, why should data not be available to everybody?
Exactly. And so the same would be true with the remotely sensed data and perhaps...
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think that remotely sensed data should be different from any other data. Mm-hmm. Provided, of course, your security concerns have to be met.
Because there was some issues, I guess, a year or so ago with Google Earth, perhaps providing some data of the Indian subcontinent.
No, but you see, remember this, as far as Google Earth is concerned, we in India see what Google Earth accesses from a satellite image, right? Google Earth does not know the implications of that when it is disseminated in the public domain,
right?
Because Google Earth is not the user, mm-hmm. right? We, when we see it at this end, realize that it has certain implications which Google Earth may not have understood.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that Google Earth perhaps now understands the implications of that.
Right.
And I'm sure in the time to come, Google Earth will be sensitive to our concerns and collaborate with us in taking care of those concerns and then partner with us in moving forward.
So in the broader issue of geospatial data, how do you see economic development coming about in India with a wider dissemination of infrastructure?
I think huge, huge, huge possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's much bigger than information technology,
mm-hmm.
if you ask me. Because it combines images with other kind of information.
So is there a realization within the government that much more data has a geospatial content than perhaps was realized previously?
See, realization is itself. When you talk of the concept of realization, it's not something that is that happens instantly.
Mm-hmm.
Realization itself assumes a process,
mm-hmm.
right? Something that you haven't realized before and they are realizing today,
mm-hmm.
right? And that process is a process which takes a bit of time. If you were to ask me the question, is everybody in the government of India, in the state administration, the lower levels of administration, within the NGO network, non-state actors, have all realized the importance of GIS? The answer is no. If you ask me the question, are they in the process of realization? And I will say the process has started, right? Will they realize the potential of this? And in how much time? My answer is they will realize. In how much time depends on us,
mm-hmm.
right? And depends on the entrepreneurs, the industry,
mm-hmm.
and the media, of course.
Mm-hmm. So the potential is obviously great. More from the standpoint of building out infrastructure and infrastructure projects, or
not just infrastructure, any and everything.
But business,
tremendous possibilities. As I gave the example of a retailer.
The reliance.
No, that's the big business. A small business. the small business, small retailers, where should they sell their products, which markets to access. If they have information, what are the kind of people living in this locality? Are they low-income people, middle-income groups, high-income groups? Their product development, you know, who should they sell to? If this data is available, marketing becomes such a more interesting and strategic planning methodology.
So perhaps you can just enlighten me a little bit about what the availability of demographic data is in India. Is that is it readily available? Is there a license?
It's not. This is the whole point.
That's what I was getting at.
Precisely the point. This is exactly what we want to do. That's why I said the opportunities are enormous. Now it's for us to actually realize that potential. You see, the larger the country, the more complex the market system, the much greater the opportunities. Right? You don't find these opportunities anywhere in the world except India, not even in China. Because there is no market, there are no market forces interplaying in China. So India is the country where all this is going to develop. That's the kind of sense I was trying to give this morning in the course of my presentation. Thank you.
Good. Thank you so much for your time.
Real pleasure.
Appreciate it. Yeah.